This is The Edge with your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Welcome into The Edge here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds filling in for Jonathan Von Tobel. Jacob Roach and Tom Cheney are at the controls. Michelle Delgadillo and Rob Moreno support the show from down below as we spend the next 2 hours along with you trying to find an edge in the sports betting marketplace. Wes, good to see you, my friend. And before we get into the news of the World Series, I guess we've got some breaking news in the world of the National Basketball Association.
We do, which is not too far away. It usually would be starting right now in a typical year, but of course, this not being a typical year. From Shams Charania of Stadium, sources indicating that former Rockets general manager Daryl Morey will sign a 5-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers as soon as this weekend to run the franchise's basketball operations. Of course, with the Sixers, Brett Brown out, Doc Rivers in as the new head coach, and now potentially getting Daryl Morey, who parted ways with Houston in the offseason. So how does he remake that roster going forward? Because the pieces, look, the Sixers have had a ton of hype over the last several years, and it hasn't materialized, and just all the talent there just doesn't work together. So I think they've kind of reached the point where you probably can't have Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons together. And you can see the odds, this being from Bet Rivers, to win the NBA Finals, Philadelphia 76ers now 30-1. So there could be potential trades. We were talking with our producer before the show, Jacob Roach, who's a big NBA guy, and he says one of those two pieces are probably going to be traded. He was saying Joel Embiid, and I don't disagree with that because he's not always healthy. And when he's on, but he's not always healthy. He's not always in shape. I know Ben Simmons can't hit threes, but he can defend and he can do some other things. I think Embiid's the more talented player, but maybe Simmons is better with what they have going forward. So this is going to be a makeover of a team because you've got two guys in Doc Rivers and now likely Daryl Morey that have been close.
Yeah.
They've been close to that brass ring. But they haven't quite gotten there, except Doc did in Boston, of course, but in their last stops, I should say, in LA and in Houston. So, you know, now they've got to make those changes with that roster. And Sixers were always a trendy pick in the futures market. Not so much this year. The fact that they're in the second column on the graphic shows you that they've fallen out of favor with the bettors.
Well, I think it's a pretty good combination. Like you mentioned, Rivers, of course, has the championship from Boston, and Daryl Morey's been very close. And Jacob makes a good point about Embiid, because what we've seen out of Daryl Morey, what he's created as of late, has been very much of a run-and-gun team, what he's done with Houston. They even went as far as small ball and a lot of three-pointers in the second half of this NBA season.
Now, does Doc want to coach that type of ball? Is he willing to make that adjustment? Because Doc is an old player and he's an old-school coach. You have some new-school coaches and old-school coaches. Does he want to coach kind of a wide-open style? I don't think he wants to do it as blatantly as Houston did it with no big guys, with guys that are basically 6'7" and under. Right. I don't think Doc wants to do that. I think he does want at least some kind of presence down low, but I think he'd be willing to embrace a little bit more up tempo and a little bit more spread the floor on offense.
Well, I am going to now bring in the bad news, Wes, and that is that we no longer have any baseball games. The World Series was wrapped up last night in the Arlington bubble by the Los Angeles Dodgers as they win 4-2 over the Tampa Bay Rays. And I imagine, Wes, if you were following Twitter, you can tell me, was there the obligatory tweet that how many days are left now until pitchers and catchers report?
Right, there was that, and there was also a lot of criticism of Kevin Cash, who really didn't change what he did all season.
No, he didn't. It just didn't work.
But, I mean, it's kind of a balance, Brady, because one of the things that's insufferable about the analytics debate is it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. It's always all or nothing. It's very much extremes, you know, that mirror a lot of different things going on in the world today. But
like
anywho,
playing blackjack by the book.
Yes.
Right? You never go,
yes,
well, maybe I'll stay this time.
Yes. It's always, okay, you always got to go with the analytics or you never go with the analytics. And then the anti-analytics crowd is really insufferable because then they get the "you never played the game" type of mantra going to make their argument or to reinforce their position. But look, Blake Snell had 73 pitches. Blake Snell, of course, is going to want the ball. I mean, it was kind of ironic that he was about to sit out the season when all of this was starting with COVID-19 and when the baseball season got pushed back. He ends up starting to likely sit out the season to, I'm upset that they took the ball from me in game six, which I could totally understand. But, maybe you gave him one more hitter, but I don't think that it was like, okay, throw him until his arm throws off. That's not how the Rays do business. And when it all comes down to it, too, at the Rays, they scored one run, and it was Randy Arozarena in the first inning with that home run, and that was it.
That was a really big turning point, too, because I felt they could have scored at least two, maybe three runs in the first inning. They were really starting to get to Gosselin. He was shaky. He was able to settle down and get out of that with only one run on the board, and that really held up for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Rays really needed to break open that first inning, and it could have been a different result.
They had their chances, so that maybe renders this debate of whether you keep Snell in, give him another hitter, or let him finish the inning, or if you pull him when Kevin Cash elected to do so, because you got to have more than one run when you're going against that Dodgers offense.
Corey Seager is the World Series MVP, wins his second MVP award in consecutive postseason series, and that was the controversial inning there with Nick Anderson coming in relief of Blake Snell, and Corey Seager delivers the game-winning hit and infield RBI. The Dodgers end up winning the game 3-1, and like you say, Wes, Kevin Cash went with the analytics. He never really let his starters go around the lineup for a third time, as good as Blake Snell was, and that's what happened. And he had been pushing those buttons all year long, and obviously it got him to game six of the World Series. It just went wrong at the wrong time.
Yeah, and the numbers indicate that Kevin Cash is absolutely right. Third time through the order, everything goes up. The ERA goes up, the xFIPs goes up, the walks go up. I think first time through Blake Snell's career ERA, 2.26.
Yeah.
Second time through,
like seven or something like that.
Well, second time through, 3.54. Third time through for his career, 4.97. But still, that's a precipitous increase. So I understand why he did it. I mean, it just didn't work. And you're up against the best hitting lineup in baseball. Got to score.
I did really well betting the World Series. I won four out of the six games. I had the Dodgers to win the series. The only thing I lost was I had a small bet on the Dodgers to win in seven games exact. And the favorite comes through in that market as well. Dodgers in six was the favorite in that little sample. And how did the betting in the World Series go for you?
It was good. That was actually my hedge point because I had the Rays 22-1 that I took before the season to win the World Series. I didn't think they were going to. If they were against the Braves, I might not have done as much hedging with it. I might have let it ride. But 4-2 Dodgers was like anywhere from 350. I got it at plus 360, but it was as high as $4, I think, at one point. So that's pretty much what I hedged out doing. I did not bet the game last night, but won a few during the series. Actually, did really well in the totals mainly because all those games went over except for the last two.
That's exactly right. The first four over, the last two under. I thought it was a great postseason. I love watching postseason baseball. Congratulations to Major League Baseball and the whole bubble concept. They went through it relatively unscathed. I thought it was a great product and a great final finish between the Rays and the Dodgers. And what's next in Los Angeles? We've got the Lakers, the Dodgers, are the Rams or the Chargers going to go to the Super Bowl?
Maybe the Rams, and even that's a little bit of a reach, even though I did have them on Monday night against the Bears because they were so unproven. They hadn't beaten anybody except the NFC least, all four teams, and finally get a win over Chicago. It was like there was a reason they were a six-point favorite when you watch that Bears offense.
Yeah, absolutely. So as bettors, we have a very short window for celebration or disappointment. We always look to the next thing, and of course we do that right now as we take a look at the odds to win the 2021 World Series.
No rest for the wicked, Brady.
And the defending champs are the favorite, the Dodgers at 5-1. The Yankees are at 6-1. The Braves and the Padres at 12-1. And I was bummed to see that the Padres are 12-1. I believe at the start of this year, they were in the neighborhood of 30, but the odds makers have seen how good this team is as well. I was surprised to see the White Sox at 12-1. They are ahead of the Rays, who are at 14-1. Wes, your Reds are at 16-1. And how about this? When was the last time we saw the Yankees as the second choice at 6-1 and the Red Sox all the way down the board at 40-1?
Yeah, a rebuild still going on in Boston. And really, that led me to kind of look this morning at the free agent market. There are no real Mike Trouts, or there are no Mookie Betts, who, of course, did re-sign with the Dodgers, so they don't have that to worry about. There are no Bryce Harpers or anybody like that that I think will shift. But there are some decent pitchers, and you mentioned my Reds at 16-1. Trevor Bauer might be the biggest ticket out there in terms of free agency, in terms of where he's going to go. And look, everybody's always going to want an arm like Trevor Bauer, but an arm like Trevor Bauer is going to cost a lot more money now, considering the season that he just had. So he maybe could make an adjustment in the market. And then you kind of look down the rest of the top 10, JT Realmuto, George Springer, Marcus Semien, Marcelo Ozuna, DJ LeMahieu, a free agent for the Yankees, Marcus Stroman, Didi Gregorius, and then a bunch of relievers, Liam Hendricks, Blake Treinen, Alec Colome, Shane Green. Also, Masahiro Tanaka is a free agent. So nobody that I think is going to really cause a seismic shift in the market. But I like what I saw. I did like what I saw out of the Padres. I think some of these teams that lost in the playoffs just didn't have that experience. And you could tell. And sometimes that's what it takes. It takes you one or two cracks before you really finally break through and get to like a league championship series or even furthermore a World Series. But the Padres, I would like to get a little bit better, but the Padres look like a team that might be the next one to take the next step and really be the challenger to the Dodgers, I think, going forward, at least in the National League.
I thought it was pretty interesting to see the Astros at 30-1. I mean, they were an awful talented team and nearly got there against those Tampa Bay Rays, nearly got back to the World Series. But you mentioned free agency. They're a team that comes to mind off the top of my head that certainly has more than a few to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do have an aging roster, and you also have Justin Verlander, who's coming back from surgery. Yeah, exactly. So you don't know really where you're going with that. So that's why I think they're kind of put in that purgatory of what I would call it, Brady, where they're not really dipped way down in the market because they still do have talented players, but you can't put them up there because if you look at what you know, your known quantities in the AL, the Yankees are better, the Rays are better. The A's are better, even though they did beat the A's in that series. I think that was just lack of experience on the A side. White Sox still up there at 12-1. They were kind of the trendy team here. And look, they smashed left-handed pitching, but the White Sox, I don't know. I don't want to say they were the Cleveland Browns, but it felt like they were like the Browns of last season. How many people had future tickets on them to win the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship and the like? That was the White Sox this year, and then they finally kind of ran into a buzzsaw in the playoffs.
Let's turn to professional football. We have Thursday night NFL tomorrow with the Panthers hosting the Falcons. This game opened up with the Panthers favored by 2.5. It did get up to 3 for a moment, and now we see it has come back down to 2.5, West, with a total of 49.
Yeah, and no real surprise there to see some movement, I think, on Atlanta, even though this, because the Panthers did put a lot into that Teddy Bridgewater homecoming last week, going back to New Orleans, and they were right in the game, just couldn't get it done in the end. Atlanta's still seeing some support, I think, from the sharp guys, because I think people think, and I think you and I were among them, that they're a little bit better in their record, but they're just finding ways because it's like it's the old Ronald Reagan, there you go again, right, from the 1980 election cycle. But that's what Atlanta is doing. They started 1-7 last year, and then they rallied to finish 7-9, saved Dan Quinn's job for at least a few games going into this season. But to me right now, what I would do at this game, it's teaser territory for me. It's teasing Atlanta up to about 8.5 in the market on a 6-point teaser. I wouldn't want to take less than 3 here with the Falcons, but I understand why the move is there.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I would not want to take less than 3 with the Falcons. I made the number 2. It came out 2.5. So, you know, that tells you that I do lean with the Falcons side a little bit. And I also think you make a statement there about the Falcons and you know, sharp bettors probably believe they're a little bit better than their record would indicate, which I agree with. I also think sharp bettors out there don't necessarily like betting on Carolina in the role of favorite.
Right, because it is a new territory for them. Because look, they
we
came
saw
up
them
lame.
In that spot
they came
the
up
Bears,
lame
right?
2 weeks ago against Chicago in that very role, 23-16, the Bears' final score winner there, but when you have these teams that aren't used to being, and that's something I like to use, especially in the NFL, when you have role reversals, teams that have been underdogs most of the season, all of a sudden they become favorites, and the market perception, that usually the first time out is too quick of an adjustment. Now, maybe the second, third, whatever, how many times down the line, it's an easier adjustment to make, but Atlanta on the teaser for me is where I'm going here.
And conversely, to your same point, Wes, the Falcons have been much better this season when they are in the underdog role. We saw them cover, should have won the game outright against the Dallas Cowboys. They were competitive against the Minnesota Vikings, even though they didn't cover that game. Or excuse me, no, they won.
Yeah, they won.
The Vikings outright. I was trying to think, what was their very, Seattle.
Seattle, yep.
They started out as an underdog in that game against Seattle. They took a lot of money, ended up in a very small favorite role. But the Falcons have been much better as an underdog this season in covering the number than they have as the favorite. And that is your Thursday night football matchup. Once again, the Falcons visiting the Panthers. That gets underway tomorrow night, 5:20 Pacific time, 8:20 Eastern. Panthers currently laying 2.5. We're just getting started here on The Edge. It's Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds filling in for Jonathan Von Tobel. We'll be back with more on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts every week of the NFL season. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups, over and unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting, you say? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. And you can use PayPal so you can be confident that it is secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states. Must be 21 years of age or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside The Edge on a Wednesday, filling in for Jonathan Von Tobel. And now we want to talk more Quick Picks. We bring in a man on the scene there at Quick Picks, Joe Brennan Jr. How you doing today, Joe?
All right, guys. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. So obviously this promotion that you have is fantastic. Again, quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus. Tell us about the action and what we can find at Quick Picks.
I'll tell you what, why don't we just jump right into the upcoming Thursday night NFL game. Always good to look at what the quarterbacks are going to be doing. This particular quarterback matchup in the game looks to be a good one, will be a good one to start playing. You got Matt Ryan and Teddy Bridgewater. Facing off Matty Ice. He's had the better average numbers so far this season, you could say. You know, 18.22 on the fantasy points per game, with Teddy only coming in at like 16.9 for the season so far. But Ryan's on the road now. He's had his up and downs off the bus this season. With Teddy, you know, the market doesn't really seem to think that much of the Panthers at home, as you guys could probably see. They're only opening with the built-in, you know, three-point advantage on the home field, but yeah, now they're down to 2.5. The other thing you got to take into account, Christian McCaffrey, what would his possible return do to affect Bridgewater's numbers? So the total on this game, it opened up at 51.5, but now it's dropped down to 49.5. It's getting tighter for the skill position players to find points for props out there. So this we think is going to be a really tight matchup, but it's one, because it's Thursday and there's no more baseball, is one that the public's already getting in on heavy.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Joe, now that there's no baseball and there's no basketball, at least for the foreseeable future, and also hockey, it's a slower schedule than usual in October. So how much do the added sports, maybe like UFC and the golf tournaments this weekend, those are kind of the two sports that saved us back in June to give us something to wager on during the pandemic, are better still pursuing those sports, even with football on the docket?
Yeah, especially golf. Golf's been a real winner for us, and it stayed strong even after the start of these quote unquote real sports. This weekend you've got the Bermuda Championship. The field itself, it's kind of like the young up and comers. I think that the public is really excited about that because there's no runaway winner, no runaway favorite in this market. So when we put those numbers up here shortly, we expect to take a lot of action. It's going to be really varied rather than clustering in just a couple of key players. And then as far as the UFC, they've been steady Eddie so far for everybody this year, haven't they? they're putting up fighters every weekend. It's been really good for us. Some of these fighters, the public doesn't have a lot of information on, but hey, it just makes it a little more fun for them for taking a runner on some of these guys. The good thing, though, is that we've got a lot of early NFL action that we can fall back on, and obviously NFL is the biggest thing for us here at Quick Picks.
Joe Brennan Jr. with us. He is an operator at Quick Picks. And Joe, I'm curious, how is this different from a traditional sports book where you are legal in 28 states? Is it different at all? Explain that to me.
What it just comes down to, guys, is that the scoring is settled on based on fantasy points rather than, the regular points, game points. So instead of having, for instance, the Falcons versus the Panthers for Thursday night, we've got Matty Ice versus Teddy Bridgewater, and those guys are squaring off based on their fantasy point totals. It's more like playing player props against each other. We've got the head-to-head matchups, and then also we'll be posting our over-unders.
That's awesome. Great stuff. And thank you for explaining that. That makes it very loud and clear. And we encourage everybody to go check it out. Quickpicks.com/vsinbonus. Thank you as always for joining us here, Joe. And enjoy Thursday night football, my friend.
All right, guys, you have a good one.
That is Joe Brennan Jr. of Quick Picks. Again, quickpicks.com/vsinbonus. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good things going on at Quick Picks.
All right, we will be back. We'll talk some Offensive Rookie of the Year, some NFL awards when we return on The Edge right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the sports book for football and all of your favorite sports. See for yourself with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like odds and parlay boosters, as well as cash out early options on selected games. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with a 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with the code VSIN250 and deposit $250 to get an extra $250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN250. Must be 21 years of age or older. Visit the PointsBet app for full details. PointsBet, stay sharp. It's a big week here at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSIN show for free on VSIN.com all week long. Follow the money at 7 a.m. Eastern, a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern, Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, The Edge, of course, our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free 24/7 on VSIN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything. everything that we have to offer, including the daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. And Wes, this is all in line with the grand opening of Circa. We wanted everybody to get access to VSiN for free and watch our live broadcast that we did last night from the grand opening of Circa. I know you were not able to make it. You were feeling a little under the weather. I was able to go down, saw the VSiN broadcast, saw the building. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've seen of it, and I'm going to be sure to check that out within the next few days, but in person for myself, but everything I've seen of it, just the features, a great studio for us at VSiN, the sports book, the amount of televisions that they can do. They have so many different pixels. I can't imagine how big that would look if they went, like, if there was one game
screen
on and there was one screen, how huge that would be. And then, of course, the Garage Mahal, the Stadium Swim, all the bells and whistles. And credit to Derek Stevens and Greg Stevens, the co-owner, his brother, and the whole team at Circa for making it come true in a very tough time in which to do it.
You know, you talk about televisions. It is a Mike Palm candy store over there. I was commenting to my wife. We were just walking around checking out the property. There are TVs everywhere, and they've all got a game on. I ran into a friend of mine who is in the marketing department over there. He said, "Isn't this great? It's a sports book with a casino inside."
That kind of seems what it is, and that doesn't surprise me about Derek, because look, I think it's great that he's kind of a throwback, and we need people that are passionate about sports betting, with it becoming legal in more jurisdictions across the country. And we have some of those guys in towns, our friends Jay Cornegay and the like over at Westgate, Derek and Mike Palm, certainly no exception, really adding to that as well.
Well, let's talk some NFL awards. We are just about at the midway point of the season. We'll start with the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Justin Herbert, who was at one time 16-1, has now moved to the favorite, minus money, minus 177 at Bet Rivers. Joe Burrow is the second choice at plus 225. Justin Jefferson, the new emerging wide receiver, is at 12-1. Tua Tagovailoa, who will get the start this week in Miami, he's at 16-1. Jonathan Taylor and Chase Claypool at 25-1. I think Herbert deserves to absolutely be the favorite, Wes. I love watching him. I think he's been outstanding. The tough part about these markets is, what if he gets injured? The only other choice I might take a look at here is Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Kansas City at 20-1.
The problem is, obviously, there's a bias against running backs, because Edwards-Helaire is having a really great season. And the one reason maybe why his numbers are a little higher, not only the bias against running backs, but also the fact they have added Le'Veon Bell in Kansas City. How much are they going to change the distribution in terms of the ball carries within that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy offense in Kansas City? So that keeps him down. I think Tua would have to go on a real run and get these guys to the playoffs, or maybe even potentially to win the AFC East, because all of a sudden that didn't seem as absurd when they were only one game back of Buffalo, and then they decided to make the move and make it be Tua time down there in South Florida and put Ryan Fitzpatrick on the bench. I didn't necessarily agree with that decision, but it's done, and we're going to see how Tua is going to do this weekend in his debut against the Rams. But I can't get past the top two at this point. It seems like it's got to be one of those two guys.
Yeah, and I think Justin Herbert is deservedly the leader right now, but I've been thoroughly impressed with Joe Burrow as well. Nice to see him come out of college and have really immediate success. Odds to win the NFL MVP, of course, the much ballyhooed story about Russell Wilson, never before receiving an MVP vote. He is now your favorite at Bet Rivers at even money. Aaron Rodgers at 4-1, Patrick Mahomes at plus 450, Tom Brady at 12-1. Kyler Murray, I think, is interesting at 20-1. If I had to make a bet here, Wes, I might look at Tom Brady at 12-1.
Absolutely. I think he's surprised everybody. I mean, he still has a couple short arm throws, but he can still crank them down the field. And the idea that Tom Brady doesn't have the strength to throw the deep ball, it certainly got disputed in right here at the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, because he went deep on several occasions against that Raiders secondary and with much success to boot. But, yeah, Tom Brady at 12-1 would be my guy. A couple weeks ago, I was looking at Ben Roethlisberger, who's not on the screen, he's probably in the 25 range, I guess, still would be. Look, the Steelers are 6-0, so you can never totally dismiss his candidacy. But he did throw three interceptions last week.
And so did Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and right? That was the first chink in the armor. But Russell Wilson, I think, and Mitch Moss made this observation on Twitter, co-host of Follow the Money right here in VSiN. Russell Wilson, she thinks Russell Wilson should win the MVP. He goes, this Seattle team stinks.
Yeah.
Because, look, their defense has not been very good at all this year, and they've had to win a lot of close games and a lot of shootouts. And you can obviously see just watching Russell Wilson, despite the three interceptions, he has taken his game to that next level. Because I always thought, he's a second half of the top 10 quarterback. He's not quite at the elite level. Well, now he is, and maybe I was just late to the party and he's been there a lot while longer.
Let's take a look finally at the defensive player of the year for the NFL, and atop the odds board is Aaron Donald, who we saw front and center on Monday night with the Rams. He's at 3-1. Miles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns is also at 3-1. Khalil Mack at +550. Joey Bosa at 33-1. I tell you what, I'd be hard pressed to see somebody else winning it than Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I think that's probably a foregone conclusion. I think JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul's odds could get slimmed a little bit, because that Bucs defensive line is at least one of the two best in the National Football League. So it's going to depend on that sack total. But Aaron Donald, to me, he's best player in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's fantastic. We'll see what he has in store for Tua this weekend in Miami. We'll talk some college football next with Dan Saley when we return right here on The Edge on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. It is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport with secure payments, attentive customer service, and reliable website. It's all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas500 today and get a $10 free bet instantly. Plus, you receive up to $500 in bonuses for wagering in your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet for more information. That's 1st.com/bet. Promo code Vegas500. It is The Edge. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Wednesday, filling in for Jonathan Von Tobel, and we want to bring in our friend to talk some college football. He's a professional handicapper, Dan Saley. You can find him on Twitter at BadBeatBros. Dan, welcome to the program, and I want to get right into the games with you. Michigan State at Michigan, and I thought Minnesota was a very popular and good pick last week, taking on the Wolverines, and Michigan really surprised me. They were sharp. They were efficient. The offense had life, and they didn't really have too much trouble in that game at all. Now, on the other side of this matchup here, Michigan State, they did have some trouble. Mel Tucker and company were nearly 2 touchdown favorites to Rutgers. They end up losing outright. Now he's got to face his in-state rival as 24.5-point underdogs, Dan.
That's right, Brady. You're right on there. I think Michigan State had a bad offseason. They didn't have any spring practice. Coach Tucker couldn't even go recruiting. They only have 3 returning starters on defense. If you remember, at the end of last season, they beat Rutgers 27-0. Well, last week versus Rutgers, they scored 27 points again. But this time, they gave up 38 points. You know, 7 turnovers did play a big part, but this is still Rutgers they're playing. They couldn't run on them. They only averaged 1.3 yards a carry. They passed decently, but on the other side, Michigan only allowed 197 yards in the air to a better Minnesota offense. You know, I agree with you. Michigan answered a lot of questions in the way they manhandled a very capable Minnesota team. They had 5 sacks, 8 tackles for loss. On offense, they had great balance, 225 yards passing, 253 running. And they found a quarterback in Joe Milton. He's big, 6'5", 245. He can run. He's a load to bring down. You know, the line opened at Michigan -23, so I grabbed it. Last year, Michigan beat Michigan State 44-10. I don't see that changing. There's also a possible middle play if you have that number.
Dan, staying in the Big Ten here, I was fortunate enough to be on Purdue last week as the home dog. They get the win over Iowa. But now role reversal here. Open four at Circa, now seven pretty much painted across the board in the market. Going on the road to Illinois, are you a believer in Purdue? They look like they found at least some semblance of a running game last week, which they didn't have last year, only averaging 83 yards a game.
You know, I was with you on Purdue last week. I actually had them as one of my favorite dogs, so I agree. I don't want to overreact too much to Illinois getting pummeled last week by Wisconsin, but it's hard not to. They look so out of sorts and out of position on defense versus the pass. However, they were capable versus the run. On offense, they ran a little, but they couldn't throw it all. And the quarterback, Brandon Peters, he's not accurate. So on the other side, Purdue, they took on that tough Iowa team. They got the victory. And what I liked, actually, was Aiden O'Connell. I think he's going to find it a bit easier to pass the ball. Wide out David Bell, he's a workhorse. He caught three touchdowns last week. He picked up right where he left off from last year. So I think those two will find gaps in coverage and exploit them this week versus Illinois. You know, last year, Illinois did beat Purdue 24-6, but that was with heavy rain, sloppy field. That favored Illinois. There's no rain in the forecast this week, and there is some wind, though. Illinois, probably not as bad as they looked last week, but when Purdue opened minus four, I grabbed it. I don't know how comfortable I feel getting up to seven or beyond seven, but I do like a lower number than that.
And Dan, one more to get to here before I get it back to Brady. Coastal Carolina at Georgia State. Look, Coastal Carolina, the quarterback, Grayson, the freshman, he did not go, and the market reacted. This was one where I had a lot of line value here, taking 5.5 with Georgia Southern, but that line value did nothing but get me a losing ticket as Coastal Carolina looks like the team to beat right now in the Sun Belt, undefeated, but now they go to Georgia State this weekend, and smallest favorite at Georgia State, just 2.5, the Chanticleers lay in.
I'm with you, Wes. I love Coastal. I won all five bets I made on them this year. They got great balance on offensive defense. And you're right. The key to this game is Grayson McCall. He's dynamic, throwing and running the ball, but he's out again. Last week, that actually opened Coastal as a four-point favorite versus Georgia Southern. That line dropped to pick him when McCall was ruled out. Fred Payton, he's last year's starter. He's capable, but here's the key. The games they are winning this year versus teams they lost to last year are because of Grayson McCall. Now, they're taking on an improving Georgia State team. Keep in mind, last year's game with similar personnel was won by Georgia State 31-21 on the road. Quarterback Cornelius Brown, he's a dual threat. He's played well. But I think this game is won in the trenches. Georgia State, they run the ball more effectively, and they're better at stopping the run. So catching a field goal as a home dog, I think, is the right side for Georgia State.
Dan, let's turn to the Mountain West, Hawaii at Wyoming. And normally this would not look like too unattractive of a game to anybody, but if you saw the Mountain West debut last week, both of these teams were very entertaining. No Nick Rolovich, no problem, as Todd Graham moves in and takes over the head coaching duties for Hawaii. And he begins with an outright upset of Fresno State. Meanwhile, Wyoming, a crazy loss in overtime to Nevada, 37-30. Now, Hawaii at Wyoming. This is a Friday night game. Keep that in mind if you're looking to bet this one. The Rainbow Warriors favored on the road by a point, Dan.
That's right. You know, Wyoming quarterback Sean Chambers, he broke his leg. And Levi Williams, the backup, he can run a little, but he's not an accurate thrower. And Wyoming needs to get that running game going. And on defense, they always do a great job stopping the run, but it did not matter last week because Nevada threw all over them. They completed 39 passes, 420 yards, four touchdowns. You know, the last time Wyoming gave up over 400 yards passing was week one last year versus Missouri. The Wyoming defense didn't really wake up or become dominant until the fourth quarter. And on the other side, you're right. Hawaii's new coach, Todd Graham, he's keeping Hawaii's offensive strategy. He's just adding more rushing, and it worked. Last week, 323 yards at 6.1 a carry against Fresno. They are balanced. I really like quarterback Cordero. He's a good thrower. He's a gifted runner. They've got a big O-line, and I think they'll be able to pass on Wyoming. And so the bottom line for me is without Chambers, Hawaii is the best play. I took them minus one at the opening.
Dan, Wes mentioned it with Purdue earlier. They go from an underdog winning outright to the role of the favorite. And you have the same thing here with Hawaii. They go as an underdog winning outright to the role of the favorite. We see that in the NFL being a very bad recipe. Do you guard against that at all in the college game?
Well, I tell you what, the books were were sharper this week, and that's because they had more data now, 4 to 6 games on a lot of teams. But the Big Ten and the Mountain West, they're still relying on their power ratings. So this is an advantage for bettors that can analyze last week's games. But, of course, it's also a disadvantage if you put too much stock in one game. And in that particular case, obviously Wyoming's power rating is higher than Hawaii's, and they would be favored with Sean Chambers. But when Sean Chambers broke his leg, that changed everything. And then watching Hawaii really play a great game last week, I like Hawaii.
And Dan Steen in the Mountain West, San Diego State at Utah State. Brady Hoke returns as coach of the Aztecs and gets an easy win over the UNLV Running Rebels, 34-6. But now 7.5 laying on the road in Logan, mostly 7.5 in the market, and then total has been bet down to 43.5. Is this how do you react to last week's results here? Obviously, UNLV is in rebuild, and San Diego State lowered the boom on them pretty easy, and then Utah State got the tough assignment of having to go to Boise and face the conference favorite in the first week.
Yeah, I think it's more about Utah State. It's all about the quarterback. Jordan Love, gone to the NFL. Henry Columbia, transferred to Texas Tech. They got a Utah transfer, Jason Shelley. He won the quarterback job, but he was ineffective. He only threw for 92 yards at Boise. It's not going to get any easier against the San Diego State secondary. Their own line could not open up many holes for the running backs. And then that game against Boise wasn't really competitive. Boise was able to coast. Now you have San Diego State coming in, and I don't think they forgot losing to Utah State last year, 17-23. A pick six was the difference in that game. San Diego State has a stout defense. Coach Hoke, he's keeping that 3-3-5. I don't think Utah State can run on San Diego State, and passing won't be a picnic either. So I think the key for Sudsu is to establish a running game, let Carson Baker manage the game. They rushed for 287 yards last week with 6.2 a carry. I think if they get the lead, then it's over. They'll just run and run. And Utah State doesn't look like they have a passing game to make a comeback. That line opened the Sudsu -7. I laid the 7. Nobody likes the hook, but maybe by game time it comes back down to 7 and you can grab it.
All right, Dan. Well, very good. It looks like you're pretty heavy on the favorites this week.
You know, last week was the dogs. I had tons of dog plays and did very well. I had 7 of 9 outright wins by dogs that I had. So I don't like the swing sometimes like that. But, yeah, this week it's the favorites.
All right. Well, very good. 7 out of 9 outright dogs is not too shabby. I'll probably see you Friday night when we turn in our picks for the contest. Dan, thank you very much, as always, for joining us here on VSiN, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that is Dan Saley. Follow him on Twitter, @BadBeatBros. You ever find yourself doing that, Wes, where you're on the dogs all 1 week and then all of a sudden you're on the favorites the next?
Yeah, sometimes it does work out that way. I think really with the overreactions. But I think Dan made a really good point there in terms of the books now. They have all the data on the ACC and the SEC and the conferences that really started earlier in the season. Still got just one game with the Big Ten. You've still got just one game with the Mountain West. Then you're going to get the Pac-12 and the MAC start next week. So the bookmakers are going to have to rely on their power ratings. They don't really have a lot of which to go on. And you can sometimes get some overreactions here. And then sometimes teams are going to be, if a team was bad in week one, maybe they're not as bad in week two. But sometimes they stay lousy. So you really got to go game by game. But you do get some overreactions here in these short-term results on these two leagues.
No, I think you're exactly right about the point that Dan made. And it's very astute. And we've talked about that with the pandemic in all sports, really, that, you know, it's tough for bettors. It's tough for odds makers, too. So take a look at the Big Ten and the Mountain West with just 1 week under their belt. How have things changed? Has it been an over-adjustment? I think a good study if you're betting those two conferences this week. Dan Saley once again on Michigan, Purdue, Hawaii, Coastal Carolina, and San Diego State. We'll be right back. 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go right here on The Edge on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.